sitting as a little voice whispering on my
Love
right
Talk
ear.
Radio.
And he was saying, if you don't ask, you never know. You never know if you don't ask. So I asked, and I got the wholesale price on some Christmas presents. Yeah. So I was
she was a happy
my
camper.
Ear.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the every other week Tuesday night call. This is obviously the on week. It is, I can't believe this, November 28th. Turkey Day has come and gone, or ham, whatever you have. We had 3 weeks staring us in the face, a little over, and we're going to be Christmas. It's just hard to believe that we're, one day turns into being about 5 days gone. I mean, that's the way it seems for me. It's just absolutely
Dave,
crazy.
Yes, sir.
As soon as Christmas is over, it's only like 2.5 months till I can get back on the river.
Okay. Well, next year is going to be a very interesting and intense year for me on the trading front. Because I'm going to be putting into practice something I've worked on for many, many years. I mean, really putting into practice on a very organized and regimented scale what I've worked on for many years in the trading end of things. And the results I'm seeing here are just amazing. They're just I'm in the practice, running through without doing the real trades, but the results have been pretty darn good. So it's going to be interesting, but I think it's going to be a real interesting year on the debt end of things, because I think we're going to start seeing some changes that affect people in a negative way on their finances, and it's going to take a little while for that to manifest and filter down to where we are, but I don't think it's going to
be another wave.
Oh, it's going to be a tsunami.
Yeah, well, it's a wave.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it should be good or bad. Don't forget, Dave, there's two sides to every nickel.
That's right.
Oh,
that market's
well, of course.
Head directly up, not down. So,
even
though I agree with you wholeheartedly that it's beyond nonsense.
You know, even the
you
biggest
know?
Waves can be ridden, right, Jesse?
Oh, yeah, I'm right.
You just
right
have
now
to
that Dave
be
knows
a
about.
Good enough surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a hell of a good year and a hell of some good picks. And, so I've had a fantastic year on the trading market. But, next year I say that, Cody has done well. And Shane turned 300 into 14,000. So that's not too bad for
good.
A guy who's never done it. He's just learning from his brother-in-law and his cousin or nephew, Cody.
Yeah.
So, he's very, very proud of it, and he should be. And
absolutely.
Made another 2,100 today, Dave. So he's pretty good.
That's great.
Yeah. And I told him next year, and I always bring your name up in a lot of stuff. There. Cody and I always consult with you on some stuff, too. And I said, next year's going to be tricky if we're going to play the regular stock market, and it's going to have to be with Dave, because Dave's put together a bunch of good stuff, but at the end of the day, Dave can put up whatever he wants, and the throw caution to the wind, so can Goldman Sachs. So,
Well, there's a very
it,
simple,
know?
Yeah, there's a very simple old saying in the markets that you know all too well. The trend is your friend.
Exactly.
And
so
the
good,
trend in the markets,
the right.
trend has been up. It's been up in the crypto markets. It's been up in the traditional markets. And nothing goes up or down forever. There are going to be reversals.
What goes up?
And then, the most difficult thing is going to be to figure out when you start getting a turnaround in the markets. And you notice I use the terminology turnaround. You're going to have to be able to determine whether you're getting, whether you are heading into one of two things, a correction or a collapse. And there's a big difference
Correct.
Between the
Correct.
Two. A correction will take you down a ways. It's normal in markets, in all markets. A collapse will destroy you if you don't know what you're doing. So, and it's going to be
Stansberry. But listen, we're talking about this, guys, because for our new listeners, you've got to understand that our whole economy is based around that stock market. And what caused the big crash in 06 was all based on derivatives and all the bonds and all the stuff that just created out of thin air. And our membership has to understand how that affects everything. And it affects you, your bottom dollar, your savings, your 401ks, your foreclosures, everything. Everything is based on that. So something that has to understand definitely from in-depth, and we do it, Dave and I, for sure, because we trade. I make 40% of my living comes off trading, and thank God it's been a good year. So that's something you guys need to know. First of all, a lot of the big money is moving to China. Tons and tons and tons of big money is leaving the U.S. They know something's
yep.
coming up. They know it, okay? Big cash panic in the U.S. and the financial system, that's around the corner. And I read a big article, Dave. I'm trying to find it to share it with the members and the callers, that talks about how these big companies like Apple, like big Microsoft, they're buying their own stock back. That's what's happening in the movement in the stock market. There's no volume. There's no volatility. It's all basically companies buying their own stocks back, which is literally destroying the value of their own company.
Well, they're not
investing
in their company.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not investing
in
their company.
They're buying back stock. That's all that's going on.
Which, by doing that, they decrease the number of shares outstanding, and the value
That's
of
right.
each share then goes up. But it doesn't. They are not spending the money creating value within the companies and actually creating productivity. And, you know, we still have this binge on the Apple iPhones, you know, $1,300 for a phone, and
yep.
you just bought one 8 months ago, and you stand in
mm-hmm.
line, and you're going to go spend $1,300 for a telephone.
Yeah.
Now, sure, it does a bunch of other things.
Who cares?
But you know
it's
what? Yeah, it's
go buy a laptop. It does everything else. And
yeah, do you really need all that crap on your phone?
Yeah.
Well,
listen,
but there's
I'm
a lot of people that use a lot of that stuff. You know, Jesse uses a lot of technology. Okay. Do I use a lot of technology?
Nope.
Well, no, not really.
Not on
I
your
have,
phone, anyway.
Well, no, but I don't use. I sit in front of three computer monitors. I have three different computers operating, but that's for what I do in my trading. Because I have to have visibility on a number of things, everything from different charts to news that's going on. I've got to be
right,
able to communicate on email.
But that's still standard technology, though, Dave. That's not anything really fancy.
That's my point. It's not having the world at your fingertips wherever you are, including if you're out in the middle of freaking nowhere. Okay, but that is the mentality that's going on in the world right now with the technology change. You know, we've got AI coming. There is everything under the sun, and technology is good, but there's a limit to it.
You know what?
There's a limit to it.
This week, I realized I'm really happy that we live in a place right now where there's no cell signal. I have to get in my truck and drive several miles to get a cell signal. And the reason I'm happy, I have a landline, that's all I need, I have internet, is because Haley is at an age now where she thinks she ought to have a cell phone. I do not want her to have one. Not as a child, I don't ever want her to have one, simply because of how dangerous they are. Both psychologically and physically for children. And, you know, she says, when am I going to get a cell phone? I said, nope, never. She said, why not? And I said, what good would it do you? We don't have a cell signal anyway. Oh, yeah, she said, well, never mind. So now I'm glad.
Yeah, that was easy.
I lived in that place. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's
keep
rolling with our call, guys. Just we'll keep you posted as we always do on what's happening in the market. It's just something that I do every other week or every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that aren't on our
yep.
email list, go to our website and get on my email list. And I try to keep
yeah.
you abreast of all the latest and the greatest, you know. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not the bearer of bad
news. Well,
the
truth.
I just gotta tell you what's coming. That's right.
Yeah, well, it's the truth
that's
of
right.
what's out there instead of the nonsense that's being spewed by CNBC and all of these other outlets. So, you know, a dose of truth is good every once in a while. So, you know what? You better do that disclaimer so we don't get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, I got some funny stuff to talk to you guys about today. Anyway, guys, welcome to the call. It's Jesse. You know, we're going to talk a lot about legal situations tonight, but none of it is to be taken as legal advice because we don't even know what that is. But we're all fighting our own cases. We share our experiences. We try to help you guys and share in your own experience, but we can't tell you what to do or how to do it because that's, at the end of the day, a choice you're going to have to make. And whatever benefits you and your family is what we always say you do. So, again, if you're looking for legal advice, please don't hang up. Hang around, but don't ask for anything because there's nothing we can do for you on that. But we still love you to stay and listen in. So, with that being said, Dave, you guys remember that last month on my foreclosure, they tried again to foreclose, and we dismissed it based on the new rule, 1015E in Florida, which is verification, or 1115, not zero, 1115E, that's the verification rule under the Civil Rules of Civil Procedure in the circuit courts here in Florida that says that the plaintiff has to verify the complaint. The plaintiff, not the POA, not the trustee, nobody else but the plaintiff. So the judge dismissed it, gave him 30 days to amend. They blew right through the 30 days. And we, again, said, no, you're all right. You can have a 30-day extension. We have no problem with that at all because courtesy guides, is, I know some people think, oh, screw them. We're not going to give them. Well, you don't give it to them. Then the judge looks at you and says, hey, come on. You should have given it to them. That's
yeah,
courtesy.
You paint yourself
and,
as the bad guy.
Yeah, or then
you
need it later and you don't get it.
Exactly. The judge is already on my side, dismissed the case, and said, nope, you got to go refile or reamend. Or amend, not re-amend, but amend. So what happens? They amended the complaint. They brought in a new attorney, by the way. So now here's the problem. When they filed the complaint, of course, we filed a notice of dispute. Okay? With that notice of dispute, he did not want to validate and verify the complaint. Okay? So they used the same verification, okay, these new attorneys that they brought in, they same verification, but they are alleging a POA. So rather than just saying, hey, this is verified by so-and-so, this is verified now by the being, if you want, I'll read it to you directly, okay? They don't want to have anybody from WISFA actually verify the complaint, okay? Nobody. So they just allege the POA. Well, that's still not good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to have, according to the rule, the. Let me get the exhibit here. Hey, what's going on here? Retry. You dang stupid thing. So, anyway, what happens is, we're going to win the dismissal again. It's in the bag. Okay. There's no way the judge is going to look at it and go, wait a minute, this is the same person that I told you last month could not verify it. The POA doesn't make a lick of difference. Okay? So, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and then you got another
okay,
lawyer
but here's
to
the problem.
Sue.
Yeah. What? What'd you just say, David?
I said you have another lawyer to sue.
Oh. That's just terrible. Do you think I would do that to somebody again? So
yes.
Just for everybody's knowledge.
You'd be a damn fool if you didn't,
up,
and you know fool.
Yeah, she racked up a brand new dining room set before Thanksgiving, a brand new formal living room set before Thanksgiving, all of it based on FDCPA and FCCPA lawsuits. So she spent $6,000 out of her $8,800 on new furniture that she wanted. God bless her, she wanted it. It's been 10 years, she could have it. And the debt collectors paid for it. That's the beauty of this whole mess. So I told Tanner, I said, Tanner, you know that if he files again, okay, he files again, this new attorney is violating the FDCPA and FCCPA. He goes, oh, my God, you're right. And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
So the firm, the attorney, and WISFA again violates it.
Yeah.
For the second time.
So just wash, rinse, and repeat.
You got it.
Some people really require a lot of practice before they perfect anything.
Yeah.
So there you go. So, so let me get
they need practice writing checks.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah, I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
And besides,
I'm at a total loss.
She got a dining room and a living room. They really understand that she should have a new bedroom to go with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So basically, what I'm thinking here is tomorrow I'm going to talk. So they really don't want to have anyone from WSFS, which is WISFA's Verify thing. So basically, we don't have to really – we need to respond to it, but we just have to, you know, basically ask the judge to stand to his first ruling that all he did is bring back the same exact person except with different language.
Right.
And that, you know – you're coming to the court with unclean hands by doing that, trying to, you know, trickery on the court, you know, basically. And the judge ain't going to have it, I promise you. So tomorrow, actually, I'm going to call Marshall in the morning, and not Tanner. And I'm going to have Marshall sue them instead of Tanner. So they got to deal with Tanner's office on the existing lawsuits. They got to deal with Marshall's office. He's also tagged in federal. Because if we've got to remove it up to federal, then Marshall can do that, you see? So we're going to go ahead and just sue from two different attorneys, two different offices, one in, you know, the land Florida in a whole different county, and then one down here in Orange County or Seminole County, Osceola County. It's about 50, 60 miles apart. So we're going to keep them really running back and forth, guys. And there's no way they can consolidate cases because they're in two different courts.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, Christmas is going to be fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I'm probably sick.
Tis the season to be jolly, Jesse.
Well, but, you know, everybody out there listening, you know, you can tell that Jesse's having fun with this, and we're having fun listening to it because we understand how all this stuff works. And if you guys will learn this stuff when you've got to deal with various situations, you can sit back there and collect the checks just like we do. I'm waiting for a check. I'm going to get another settlement check in the mail, another installment check either tomorrow or day after for a few thousand bucks. You know,
and
I enjoy that. No. I'm just trying to make a point to everybody out. I like this. It's fun.
You know, Dave, I was thinking just the other day when you had your call on Monday night and you let everybody know that we would be sharing out the template for the complaint on the full file disclosure issue, maybe
for the FCRA.
Before the end of
the
year or the first part of January, and we'd all be ready to go. I was thinking, you know, obviously, there are going to be bing, $1,500 settlements all over the damn place. But I'm thinking, you know, when they say to me, well, how much will you take to just, you know, make this go away? Oh, $15 and the file.
No, you know they aren't going to give you the file. All they're going to do is buy their way out of it, $1,000 for each CRA. They're just going to be writing checks. That's all they're going
to
be doing.
I want them to squirm a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And,
but,
you know,
yeah, but, you know, in reality, that's what's going to happen. And the thing about this is, you got to stop and think about this. You're going to be able to do this once a year.
Exactly.
So every year, you can hit them up with a lawsuit and get your three grand.
Exactly. So every year, it kind of pays for Christmas, right?
Yeah, whatever, you know, whenever you want to do it. But wouldn't that be nice to have about 30,000 people a year doing that?
Oh, yeah. And what good practice.
Well, yep, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, and how much more money will they spend on attorneys all over the country? Not enough. But we're going
to
help.
So I tell my good news. I have to assume that Larry has good news, and we can get on with this call.
Well,
where's Mr. Larry?
We might be able to do that. Yeah, I got to see. Larry is right there, I believe. Mr. Larry?
Am I right here?
There you are. See? I knew he was there.
I didn't get a notification. That's funny. Not a lottery report. I had a mediation TransUnion. We did not know.
Hope you're
which
breaking
is,
up,
you know,
Larry.
Unfortunate.
Yep, we didn't hear that. All we heard was TransUnion.
Oh.
Yeah. You need to go over by the window.
Actually, I'm on my landline. This should work quite nicely.
Oh, boy.
I had a mediation with
maybe
a Korean and TransUnion. We did not
know.
Say that
didn't
again,
get anywhere, though, huh?
You didn't hear it that time either?
Dave was talking.
That Dave. I said I had a mediation with Experian and TransUnion.
Okay.
We did not settle.
I see.
Which surprised me
would.
With Experian, but, you know, whatever. But recently I've gotten checks for $2,000, for $3,000, and for $750. And if you question why I got a check for $750, because as many of you know, my absolute minimum for selling anything is $1,000. They made the case that they didn't do anything, and I believe them. So. But
hey.
But here's the thing. I was very courteous with them. They made a convincing case. They gave me an affidavit, and their deadline for responding to the lawsuit was the next day. And they said, you know, we really don't want to have to respond to this. It's going to cost us a lot of money. And I'm like, and they offered, you know, we'll give you some money to go away and settle today. And I said, okay, this is the, and we came up with that amount, and which is fine. And
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So it really was a win-win.
Well, you know, it beats poking the eye with a sharp stick, as the saying goes. You know, it's $250 less than the minimum you normally accept. It's still
correct.
$750 that you didn't have.
Yeah,
the day before.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is correct. I spent most of it on Cyber Monday, so it worked out.
There you go. You had a good time then. Yeah, believe it or not, I didn't spend 1 cent on Cyber Monday or Friday.
I didn't either. I spent it today.
But I
still got a really good deal because of Dave whispering in my ear.
Yeah. Long distance, yeah.
He didn't even know
it. I'm just doing my research now so I can spend money on setting up a four-monitor system for watching things. So.
Oh, I don't think I mentioned. I'm waiting on a $3,500 check, which should arrive any day.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That works.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I like that
so,
kind of
I mean,
business,
you know, like you were saying before, Dave, this is just fun. If you know what you're doing and you don't take it too seriously, you take it seriously enough to do what you need to do.
Right.
But
yeah. It's just business.
Know, it's just something to do, and that money is easily spent. You can do something with it, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very easily spent, invested. You know, I've invested some in cryptocurrencies and stuff like that, and I'm making money on that. So, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of different things you can do, but it like Larry just said, it's just business. It's you know, take it serious enough, but you know, don't let it drive you to drink, so to speak. You know. just take care of business and collect what is due you. That's the bottom line. It is due you. If your rights have been violated, it's your responsibility to stand up for them. It's not somebody else's to, you know, stand up for
Nobody's
you.
Nobody's going to go get the remedy for you.
Yeah, put your big boy pants on and stand up for your own rights. So, view them, if nothing else, as a bully. You know, what would you let a bully beat the crap out of you? Probably not. You'd fight back. Well, this
no,
is the same I'd thing.
No, I do what
bully,
my grandma always
fight
taught
back
me
with them.
Pick up an equalizer.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the equalizer.
Yeah, but I got a deal for you. Yeah. So I got to get Sir John in here. Good evening, Sir John. How are you tonight?
I am doing very well.
That's good.
Wow, he's got that
here.
Well, no, I was just, you know, sometimes Dave said the wheels of justice turn slowly.
Slowly.
Yeah, they creep.
I filed a notice of appeal next week will be a year ago.
Oh, my God.
So, anyways, sometimes things take time.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody that expects to get something done through the courts in a hurry is in for a rude awakening in most cases. Oh,
yep.
Man.
Yep. I can testify to that.
I can really testify to that because my stuff's stuck in an MDL that I started in the beginning of 2014. I'm almost 4 years, and I haven't even got scheduling orders or gotten to start to discovery, and it looks like it'll be another 6 months to a year minimum before I get to do that. So you talk about slowly.
Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
That's because of unethical players and bad actors, and you're stuck in it. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Dave's got patience.
Well, that's going to be a really big payoff for me, so it's going to be worth the wait. But, you know, and I'm not impatient. I'd like to have it move along sooner, but, you know, I don't always get what I want, and that's the way it is. So we'll just take things one day at a time, literally, and do what we got to do. And that's what everybody has to do when you deal with the courts. You know, we do get the question fairly often, well, you know, I've been waiting 2 months for a ruling on this. Isn't there something
How
you can do, something
to
you
take?
Can file with the court to make them rule on this or do this? And it's like,
no,
you cannot do that. You
can't make them do
the
anything.
The court has complete control of its docket and can move as fast or slow as it so chooses. And that's one of the important things you got to learn about litigation. It is what it is, and some judges are very good about moving their dockets along and keeping up with things, and others are as bad as the good ones are good. And you never know where you're going to be in that mix when you get a judge, you know, until you kind of get some experience with them and find out. So, you know, anyway. We got to see if anybody else has got any good news. Any of our other moderators have any good news? John, do you have any?
No, that was just it. My appeal's dragging on.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody has any good news for us, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you on the board. Otherwise, we're going to go to Q&A if we don't have any good news. And we do have somebody from 954 that just raised their hand. You've been unmuted for good news. Go ahead.
All right, Dave. I got some good news. I just got a settlement check today. It's my fifth case that I've won since March that I've started with you guys. And I haven't lost a case since.
Wonderful.
And it's exhilarating every single time. And the funny thing was, last week I talked to the attorney that was, you know, working with the debt collection firm, and she said, "Are you a lawyer, sir? Are you a lawyer, sir?" I said, "No, ma'am. I just know a guy named Dave Mack who told me I know how to read." And she goes, "Hey, Dave Mack."
I love that.
Yeah, I know how to read.
Classic. Yeah. And she just, like, she changed her tune, and then she actually sent me an email this morning asking me if I had a great Thanksgiving and I had a good time. And I was like, wow, what a change of pace. And, you know, settle for what I asked for, you know, $1,500.
Don't ever forget you're just dealing with people.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing.
I love that response, though. That was just beautiful.
Classic. Classic.
Oh, man, my name's getting around, huh? Oh, boy.
No, then she goes,
at least it's in a good way.
Well, I did, and she goes, well, who's this Dave Mack? And I said, well, I said, never mind, but I tell you what, just don't call him too much on the phone.
That's probably good advice.
Don't call him.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. That's funny. Well, congratulations, yeah. Man. You're doing good. I love it. I just love it.
I know. I'm great. And thanks to you guys and thanks to the site and everything else. It's got me from March to now. And I mean, like, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, but you know what? It's you doing the work. We just help fill in a few of the gaps in between, but it's you being in the website and studying and getting the information.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're the one that's making it happen. We just are there to kind of stand guard, so to speak.
Well,
so,
I can't thank you guys.
Congratulations.
Enough.
Good job. Good
job.
Thanks.
Okay, that was it.
All righty. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. You have a great holiday season, and I'm sure you will with those checks.
Well, I can't wait. All right,
yeah,
thanks,
really.
Guys.
You bet. Take care.
Okay.
Oh, man, I love that. That is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, if somebody comes along in 6 months, look what they're doing, you know, five deals. Wow. And, of course, you know, are you a lawyer? You know, I don't know how many times Jesse, you've probably been asked that question, what, about 300 times by now?
I've been asked that question by the judge. And
yeah.
To her surprise, I said no. Do I need to be?
Yeah. I was asked by the judge, too. What say you, Mrs. Hinkle? Well.
I haven't had occasion to be in court in front of a judge, so I haven't, you know, been asked or anything, but I've sure been asked by a lot of lawyers. Oh, man.
Yeah, I actually told the judge, hey, I can read just like this. This attorney can, and then the one smart-ass attorney said, oh, he just got that from the Internet. And I said, well, where'd you get all yours?
Yeah.
What, you don't use NexisLexis and Westlaw, really?
Yeah.
What are you using?
I think even the judge looked at her like, what? Like, did you just really shut up and sit down?
Yeah. Can't believe you actually said that.
Yeah.
Well, my usual response when I get asked that question is I just say, please don't, you know, they say, well, are you an attorney? You know, please don't cuss at me. And usually that gets a chuckle out of them. But that's how I reply. You know, somebody refers to me or calls me a lawyer. It's like cussing at me. I don't like that. So please don't do that. No, but I know how to
resort to name calling.
Yeah. But I just tell them, just like Jesse said, and we've talked about many times, you know, no, I'm not a lawyer, but I know how to read.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what are they going to say if you say that? I mean, what can they say?
Nothing.
You know, and,
not much.
I mean, you can go on and expound on it and say, and I'll bet you I don't have any student loans like you do. You know,
yeah.
But you don't want to rub it in.
The judge looked at them and said, touche, she's got a point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I'll bet you we got people out here that got questions for us, and that's what we're here for. So if anybody has got a question, get on the ball, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue. We'll take your calls. But please don't sit and wait and think, well, I'll wait a while and, you know, I'll do it later. Because when we run out of people, if we run out of people before the two-hour call is up tonight and we don't have any more people with their hand up, we're going to end the call. So get yourself in the queue and we'll get your answers to your questions as best we possibly can. And we're going to start with 630. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Terry, thanks a lot for the documents, and Dave, thanks for the response to the email. Jesse,
sure.
This question is from you. I'm helping a guy that filed an FDCPA claim in 2013, and he's still in there. The judge wants him to amend his complaint. Obviously, there's been additional cause of action. Yeah, you heard me. There are additional causes of action, obviously, that have occurred since the filing. In the amended complaint, can he bring in additional new causes of action?
Not if they're past the statute of limitations.
The only restriction? No?
That would be the only restriction, I would think.
Right, because an amended complaint replaces the original, and it is from that point forward considered the original complaint. And so your allegations are whatever your allegations are, and insofar as you are within the statute of limitations on those allegations, you're free to make what allegations you can substantiate.
But now. Here's the kicker. You can file another lawsuit for the more recent ones that would be in statute of limitation, and then the court would very possibly combine them.
Okay. And that's what occurred with this guy. He, in fact, filed three separate lawsuits, and the judge combined them all. So that's why it's...
Okay.
That's why he wants the amended complaint.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
he wants everything included.
Yeah, he did in fact do that. He did combine them all, and then told the individual to amend his complaint to include the combination. But of course, there's been additional infractions of causes of action since then. So I didn't see if it was a problem.
Oh yeah, then that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, the only thing that would create the need for a new lawsuit would be something that wasn't included in the prior but is outside the statute of limitations if you were to file now.
I got you. All right, so anything that's prior to – what's today's date? November – what is it, 20? Anything
today's
prior
the 28th, and it'd have to be, November 27th, November 30th of last year, because you can't go from the 28th to the 28th. You have to go from the 28th and file by the 27th.
Yeah, and then take into
because the 28th would be a year and a day, and I have actually seen a decision by a court dismissing a case because they filed 1 year to the day after the violation. I actually saw a dismissal on a case because of that. So it's very technical.
Very good. Very good. And then last question, Jesse. This is a state foreclosure. Another guy filed a foreclosure for, I want to say, 7.5 years. Illinois has an 8-year statute of limitation. They dismissed the case.
Wait a minute now. Let's get this right.
Yes.
8-year statute of limitation on what?
That's correct.
You didn't answer me. I said on what?
On what?
Yeah. On the
note. That's your question on what?
On what?
On the note.
Yes.
On the note.
Wow. You're one of the few states in the country that actually has that.
So when they bring the claim back a second time, obviously they're going to bring the note back. Why isn't it that they're not accused of the same action as anyone else that files a claim against the same parties bringing in the same causes of action? Why isn't that the
same date, the same day of default and everything else?
Yes. Everything is identical.
Okay, and the statute of limitations is 8 years, and they're in 7.5?
And they dismissed the case after 7.5. they had to dismiss the case. They couldn't get summary judgment because I effectively brought in a pretty good conditions proceeding that they couldn't get around.
Okay.
And so they dismissed the case.
Okay, so that's great. I don't need to know the details. It was dismissed. When now, well, how far along past that is it now?
They haven't hit 8 years yet. I expect them to come in any day.
Okay, so what's the question, I guess?
The question is, why aren't they accused of res judicata the same way as anybody else that has the same party with the identical causes of action?
You can't have res judicata. It was dismissed.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no
res judicata only occurs when there is a determination by the court, a judicial ruling,
correct.
Not a dismissal.
A final adjudication.
Yeah, it's a final
that
adjudication.
That answers my question.
Yeah.
That
and all that
question.
Means is it's already been decided. So if you were to get res judicata, it would mean that there was some other case that had the same set of detail, same similar situation that has already been heard by a court, had been decided. So, and you brought in the same case or the same set of facts, and that's your res judicata. You're done. Or if you go from one court and start crying to it at the federal court, oh, look, they did this wrong down there in the circuit court, my foreclosure or my FTC, whatever. The circuit court's already decided it. So that's res judicata in the federal court. Federal court's going to say, hey, it's already been decided down there. Don't bring it here. Don't waste my time. Make sense?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Talk
to you. All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good Christmas.
All righty.
Thanks, guys.
And you're welcome.
Okay, we're going to go to 708. You are unmuted. Go ahead for your question.
Hello, how are you guys?
And good, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I do have a question. The question is about a case we had for foreclosure, and we got an attorney, and, of course, the attorney screwed us over and never argued what we asked him to argue, which was the note itself. Foreclosure was brought from Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank, and we never had a note with them. It was with a different mortgage company, and it was just horrible. But we lost in Chancery Court, and then before he even got a chance to make an argument in the appellate court, they ruled in favor of they upheld the rule of Chancery Court. The question I have is, can we now go to federal court in order to fight this case?
No.
Okay.
That's what we just mentioned before. That would be res judicata. The
only
place
on that you can't.
Not on that.
Yeah, foreclosure anyway is a state issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That can't federal be taken into
no,
a federal court.
They got no jurisdiction over your property.
Yeah, we were trying
property.
To go on fraud.
Doesn't matter. They have
doesn't
no
matter.
Jurisdiction over your property or your property issues. See, you couldn't bring it. And fraud is not the right word. You never use the word fraud in court, ever, ever, ever.
Yep.
Yeah. You won't get anywhere with it because you have to prove,
you will never prove
intent
it.
To prove fraud.
Yeah. See,
and
the intent is the killer part.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily difficult to do that unless you've got some monumental evidence.
Like video evidence of conspiracy to prove intent.
Yeah.
That's what it
oh,
would
now,
take.
Now, let me give you the opposite of that. You owe the IRS and you didn't file right, and they can say, well, he had intent to defraud the United States. And they
right.
can prove it every time, but you can't. No matter what you do. You can't.
Is there anything
don't
we
slip
can
up.
Do to
no,
go
those suckers
after
a dollar.
Bank?
Yeah. So fraud is just not good for us, the pro se people, even with an attorney. It's just not good.
Okay.
I don't see anything that you could do to go after the bank. I think what
well,
I would do is go after
the
lawyer.
Listen to me, David.
Yeah.
He could go under FDCPA
as long as it's within the statute of limitations, for attempting to collect an alleged but not existing debt. Now, if you prove in the federal court that that was the case, because there's something wrong with the note, the allonge ain't there, it's not dated, it's whatever the situation is, you might win that. And then if you win that, you could go back to the state court and file a wrongful foreclosure case that can you can get your damages out of there. So you'll never win the foreclosure back, but you still can continue on and make yourself a few bucks.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
See?
All right.
Yeah, how long ago was it? How long ago was the foreclosure?
That's my next question.
The foreclosure was last year. The appeal was just a few months ago.
But the case has been going on
since 2012. But the decisions were made last year, the foreclosure in Chancery Court, and then a few months ago, the appellate court upheld it.
Yeah, that's the problem, Dave, that it's been over a year.
Yeah, that's...
So now then,
the
only
farther
option,
out you go, the more difficult it is to deal with it.
Right.
Correct. The only option you would have is look at your state chancery court. What state are you in?
Illinois.
Illinois is what I thought. Look at your state action or consumer protection law and see if it has a two-year statute. You can might pursue it under that. Remember, you're not after the money here. You're after a... ruling. Then once you got the ruling, you can pursue much easier the wrongful foreclosure. Not to say you can't go after the wrongful foreclosure right out of the gate right now. You can if you think you got it and you got the right set of circumstances. In fact, you can do it.
The thing
okay?
I need, the smoking gun that we couldn't find was one of our closing documents that actually showed we had some of the things, but we didn't have to actually have the note from the original, what do you call, mortgage company.
Yeah, you don't usually get the note.
They
you get a copy of the note. Yeah, you get a copy is all you get.
No. We didn't even get, yeah, we got a copy, but the bank never produced it in discovery.
Copy or the note?
The copy or
Which
the
one?
Note. They produced a
So they foreclosed
note.
Without a note.
Yeah, we had one with CTX Mortgage, but... they produce a note that was signed for Wells Fargo that was a year, supposedly a year later, on a different date.
Did you have a mortgage, did you do a, the reformation of the mortgage with anybody?
Yeah, we did it with Wells Fargo.
Well, there you go. That's why they got the new note.
Yeah, but that is not the note they were suing for. We never did a refinance on that date with them, and they were suing for the original note. They weren't suing for a
refinance.
Well,
that was there. Okay, wait a minute. Not a refinance. Listen to what I'm telling you. A restructuring of the mortgage.
No, we didn't do a restructuring of the mortgage.
So how did Wells Fargo get involved?
Wells Fargo was the servicing company.
And they produce a note that said Wells Fargo's name on it?
That is correct. And it is a fraudulent note.
Damn.
It never happened. The deed shows the date that we closed on. The title insurance shows the date and the mortgage company we were with. But our attorney just did not argue that right off the bat.
Yeah, it should have been dismissed
to the
right
attorney.
Out of the gate.
Yeah.
I would
just
think
sue them, but there's a crime
thing.
Against that right now. I would love to.
Sue them.
Incompetent counsel.
Why can't you sue them? Yeah. And you could probably sue for wrongful foreclosure and bring it up to the court and say, listen, this has to be heard. I had incompetent counsel.
But
you
I would
might
have
be
to...
able to get away with that.
Right.
What the hell did he argue? I don't understand it. What did he argue?
He didn't really argue anything. All he said was continue.
Sounds like
continuations of each court date. And then they immediately.
All he did
went,
was just milk you for the money that
judgment.
You paid him.
And kick a can down the road.
Him. Paid him
yeah.
for both
wow.
the foreclosure and the appeal.
He just kept
yeah,
kicking
sue,
that can until you ran out of road.
I would
right.
sue
that lawyer into oblivion.
You got it.
But nobody in Illinois will take it. We'll sue an attorney here.
Well,
they
you can.
Won't take that case. They don't want to sue each other.
You don't need anybody. You can do
yeah.
it yourself.
Why do you
That's
need
true.
An attorney? You know?
That's the whole point of being a member of What Lies in Your Debt, is you know more than they do.
Excellent point. Yep. No.
It takes some work and study on
How
your part, but all the stuff's out there.
Hmm? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They hate
say
you
all the information is out there.
When
okay.
you one up one of those bar card holders, but trust me, it doesn't really matter that they hate you forever.
Okay.
Yeah, you're
I'm
not running a popularity contest
right
you?
Away.
Nope.
But do I need to do the wrongful foreclosure right away in order to continue this?
I would. I would absolutely study that big time.
And that's
and
going to
be
in
careful.
State court, right?
No, yeah, but listen here. Here's what I would do. I would not argue the point that your attorney appealed.
Okay.
You want to argue the points that he didn't appeal that caused it to be the wrongful foreclosure. Hence, they don't even have a note in their name, and somehow this court allowed them to foreclose. You understand?
Well, I understand. I'm not arguing the point that the attorney appealed. You said I'm arguing the point that the attorney did not appeal?
Correct, which is the wrongful note. Not don't use the word fraudulent note. Just use the note. So how do you have standing? Because you can always, no matter what, any appeal, you can come back and argue standing. And say, hey, wait a minute. You guys, this court never had jurisdiction. They never had any standing. That makes sense?
It makes sense, but I know that something came up in the court where the judge said that you needed to argue standing in the beginning.
No, you do not.
And he didn't present it at that time.
Lack of jurisdiction can be argued anywhere even after an appeal. It's a void
judgment. Right, because it's something that cannot yeah. change. It either existed
it
or it didn't.
Or it didn't. And your stupid-ass
yeah.
attorney, excuse my French, never argued it. Therefore, you bring it up now and say, hey, wait a minute. This court never had jurisdiction, neither the appellate court, and because of lack of competent counsel, it was never argued. But they never had standing to give this court jurisdiction. So
the court never had jurisdiction to make any ruling is the bottom line.
It's like suing an employer for wrongful termination. If you never worked there, you can't do that, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that'll never change. You either worked there or you didn't.
Right.
Very good example, Terry. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You're gold.
Well, I go
so just
back
take your
to
time,
state court.
Study. Yep, you do it in state court, and you file void foreclosure or void judgment. And you, John, what is... Jeff's site. I don't even know what the URL is anymore for that.
Voidjudgments.net.
Or
so go to voidjudgments.net.
Or com.
Yeah. And you'll see Jeff, God rest his soul, he worked hard at that, has a lot of information on the void judgments, how it works, why it works, and good arguments for lack of jurisdiction. He has a ton of Cornwall.
And when
Cornwall.
You get on that front page, you scroll all the way to the bottom. If
yeah.
you click on what's in the news, that takes you to all kinds of information.
Yeah. And there's tons
and
tons of case law in there.
Yeah, and I guarantee you there's stuff for Illinois in there. I guarantee it.
Okay, great. And I was just looking at
So there's
at
no
that.
Hurry, because remember, there's absolutely no hurry on that. You can take a month, do your studying, and then make sure you, when you step over the line, you know that you're good. Your leg ain't going to cut off.
Okay, great.
Don't rush
so
it.
I'm not under the gun for a...
No.
Statute of limitations
no.
on that?
No, not on this. Absolutely not.
Okay, great. Also, I have one last quick question. My wife and I are not state married, not legally married in the state of Illinois. Does that matter
right.
if I go pro se and present?
What difference does it
no.
make?
Yeah,
no.
You can't represent her regardless. You're actually in a better position because you can use my next best friend rule, right? The best friend rule.
Okay.
Because she's not your wife.
So you're actually in a better spot.
How so?
I mean, her name was rule.
Not mine.
It doesn't matter. Go look up the best friend rule in court.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Just go do that.
I'll do that.
I answered your question 100%. Trust me. Just go look that up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate your help.
All
righty.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you have any other questions, put them on the forum. So that's always there for you, too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. And
hey, that was a good one.
Going...
That guy's going to hammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
no, that is a good
hammer
one.
Him, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and it's good to get some of this other information, be able to discuss it and get it out there for people. Let's go to 435. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Great. Hey, I just signed up last week, and two days later, I got a letter from an attorney that said that he was they were renewing my judgment. Is there anything I can do about that?
Not really. That's pretty standard procedure. What happens?
Yeah,
is like
if they're renewing a judgment, it's been around for a good while.
Yeah. Well, no, in Florida,
yeah,
you got to renew it every 2 years or every year and a half, or there's a certain
what I'm saying is it isn't something that's occurred in the last 6 months or a year. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it originally came about in 2009, and I haven't received anything in the mail from anybody since then that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
so
they
well, that
renewed,
doesn't mean it goes
as they
away.
Keep renewing it.
Yeah.
Here's what
yeah,
you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Send the lawyer a jet validation letter right away. And if he doesn't mail you a copy of the judgment, if he mails you anything other than that, you can sue him in federal court for violating the FDCPA. The action they noticed you that they were renewing the judgment, and that is a legal action to attempt to collect the debt. It's a communication sent in connection with the collection of a debt. And so if you request validation properly, they have to mail you a copy of the judgment, and if they don't, you can sue them.
Okay, do they have 30 days to get that back to me?
Yep.
No, they can't
yep.
do anything further to collect until they mail you validation, which would be a copy of the judgment. If they don't mail you a copy of the judgment, you can sue them if they do anything else.
Okay.
All right, so I sent them a debt validation. Look on the website for the debt validation letter.
Okay.
Which
well,
basically
thank you so
says
much.
I dispute the debt and I demand validation. It's basically what it says. It says a little bit more than that. But you mail that, mail it to him, certified with term receipt, mail it to the lawyer that contacted you. And if you end up suing him, you can sue both the lawyer and the law firm.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All righty. You're on your way.
Much.
You bet. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to 856. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Is that me? How you doing?
I think it is you because we're hearing you.
Oh, okay.
And if
as
I had
I...
unmuted you, we couldn't hear you, and I'm doing fine.
Okay.
How are you?
So, soon as I took a bite of something, I said, "Darn that, Dave." But
well, I knew you were eating, and I wanted to catch you with a mouthful.
Okay. Two things. One is to our member that's in Illinois that was on the phone. You know, we have a member in Illinois, and he can get some support. He needs to email prose@gmail.com.
There you go.
And he can get some support there. And the other thing I wanted to ask you guys is, you know what state I'm in?
Yeah, that's
and
a joyous state.
And I want to know, how is a pro se supposed to learn the rules when there seem to be unwritten rules? I mean, other than the court's rules, which differ from the statute or the state rules. So, for example, for discovery, one rule says they have to answer production in 35. Another rule says they answer interrogatories in 60. And another rule says admissions in 30. But apparently there is an unwritten rule that says they don't have to respond to discovery until the end date of discovery. What is a pro se to do? How are you supposed to learn the rule? Which
one
do you go
by? You go to the court and you do a motion to compel and let the court tell you that, and that's when you can tell the judge, Your Honor, can you tell me the specific statute that says that, and wait for him to say, well, it's an unwritten rule.
Okay.
That's how you got to put him on the spot.
Okay. What I did do in my situation is my discovery ended the 25th. It was Friday a week ago that my plaintiff attorney acted like he didn't know that I wanted to extend discovery. So I answered his question and told him that what I wanted to extend was the discovery, which was the topic of the email. So I didn't hear from him on Monday. So Tuesday, I filed a motion to extend discovery time, including a motion to compel. And I did that Tuesday afternoon. So
this was last week.
Yes, because the court offices were open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here. No judges were there. And then the court offices were closed Thursday and Friday.
Right.
So, you know, you have to get that motion in before your discovery ends. So mine ended Saturday. So I didn't want to file it to the 22nd, but I didn't want to wait to the last minute because I always run into Murphy moments. So I filed it Tuesday afternoon. So Wednesday morning I get an UPS overnight delivery, and they filed my motion the same day I dropped it off. So on the 22nd, which was Wednesday, about 4:20, the plaintiff had their answers picked up, and they delivered to me answer and objections for all three of my discoveries. So I got that on Friday, the day before discovery ended. So I'm sure they saw in e-court that I had filed that motion.
Oh, sure. Yep. They're going to run you all the way to the end. Well, she's just a pro se. She doesn't know anything. We'll just, you know, run her into the wall.
They can pay dearly for underestimating.
We'll kill her on procedure.
Right. So, well, I think when they saw that, they said, oh, shit, she ain't playing. And they hurried up and got me their non-answers, which I'm still going through.
why
love
am I
that
not surprised?
Moment when it's the, oh, my God, she's not bluffing.
So I planned to
more
go
than we
through
thought
that. Because I picked the motion date for 12:15, and they've been served. So I plan to go through it and see what they didn't answer for that hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going loaded for bear, sure.
Okay. So we just play it by ear and try to follow the statute, even though they may not be the rule. But okay.
You know, anytime somebody says there's an unwritten rule, no, all the rules are written. What's the number of the rule you're referring to? Otherwise, there is no rule. If you can't put my finger on the rule, there is no rule.
Right. But I had gotten the hint that if I had filed the motion to compel before my discovery end date, they would have been laughing at me because it would have been premature. So instead, I filed a motion to extend, and I included the motion to compel. So we'll see if that worked. That's all for me.
Okay. Well, thank you, dear. Onward
thank
and
you.
Upward.
Okay.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now, you know, I'm looking at the board, and I don't see anybody else with their hand up, which means that we don't have any more questions unless somebody hits the one key on the keypad on their phone. And if nobody does that, that means we're going to be done for this evening, and we've got some other things that that we can go ahead and do. If you want to get a question answered, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone. Otherwise, forever hold your peace, at least for 2 weeks, because there will not be a call next week. There will be a call 2 weeks from tonight. And I guess there isn't anybody else that's got questions out here. I'm not seeing anybody else putting their finger up in the air and saying, wait a minute. So we'll go ahead and wrap things up. I'll give the call announcements. Terry has a call on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. If you're not on her email list for some reason, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com and say, please put me on the list. And when she sends you the email with the call information, save it, because she doesn't send them out weekly anymore because of internet bandwidth issues. So save that call information. She also sends out some other information from time to time as well, and the link for the call recording. So you definitely want to be on her email list. And, of course, for all the members, you got the website to use through the weekend, post questions in the forum, get answers, study what's there, and then next week we're going to start all over again in December. And Dallas Step Discussion, as usual, is on Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, an hour later. That's still on TalkShoe.com. The PIN is 54318. And, again, that's an hour later. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern. So there's the support out here. You got to study. Get in the website. If you're not a member, I don't know what to tell you. You need to get in there. If you've got issues that you're dealing with or you think you may have them down the line, it's absolutely imperative that you get in there. And like I said, if you think you may have something coming, get in front of the game. Get ahead of the curve instead of finding yourself behind the eight ball when all of a sudden somebody knocks on your door. Oh, well, here you've been served with a lawsuit. And you're going, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Don't put yourself in that position. So, Jesse, you get the last word as usual.
Hold on, buddy. Speaker, I was just listening to you do that. Guys, thank you for joining us. Of course, short call, kind of a surprise, but pleasant. I got a million other things. I'll be working until about 11 regardless, and I know most of our moderators will too. So with that being said, guys, have a great week. God bless every one of you. And don't forget, join up, guys. You can't window shop forever and be successful. You have to get in there, dig around, and do your homework. So that being said, have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a couple. We have a webinar next week, by the way, David, just so you know, a reminder.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we do have a webinar next Wednesday. Yes, we do. Do we not?
Next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. And that's for all the members.
There you go, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Terry's call Thursday night.
You got it.
I'll be there.